Dynamics Access to Healthcare session, and our next speaker is Dr. Ronald Wiwara. Dr. Ronald Wiwara is talking about cost comparison of two models of primary care delivery in rural Palm Beach County, Florida.
Well, good morning again, everyone, and I'll kind of start us out by talking a little bit about Palm Beach County, because it really is an area of contrast, and we've kind of looked at some solutions that are on state levels, and this is a very local solution to what we needed to do to get care. And when you think of Palm Beach, there's a very wealthy area on the coast, but for about 30 miles west of that is nothing but sugarcane, and it's like a $300, $400 million crop a year. A lot of the economy in Palm Beach County is actually agricultural. And around the lake are several communities that are very poor. And this is the area of interest for what we're going to talk about this morning. Population of about 50,000. Two-thirds of all the people that live in these communities are at or below 200% of federal poverty guidelines. And it, because of the poverty and the lack of resources, it's really very challenging to get providers out there. And for about the past 4 years, I'm the medical officer for the system, but I've also had to serve as administrator off and on for the hospital. So one of my challenges has been getting physician recruitment and bringing folks into the community to practice, because I just don't have enough people in the community to see patients. And so one of the studies we did, you know, taking your rates, what you'd expect, what you need to staff a community, look at how short we are in our primary care providers. They just aren't there. And you know, when you go out into the community and kind of do a little survey what's available there, there isn't much. This is the hospital. This is the hospital that I currently am CEO at, and it's a 73-bed little Jayco thing. We you know, did it. That part of it goes back to the 60s, but we have another part that goes back to the 30s, and it was actually dedicated by Eleanor Roosevelt. And it has a long history of serving the poor in the community. And of course, as we kind of move forward, one of the issues we talk about safety net hospitals having issues, you know, this is perceived as a poor hospital, you know, and it's where you go when you don't have money. And, you know, how do you change that payer mix when people have that idea, that brand about what you are? So we need a lot of additional primary care providers. There's also a lack of specialty providers. There's one federally qualified health center at the beginning of the period of time back in 2004, which was run by the health department, the Palm Beach County Health Department. Talked about poverty and uninsured, poor payer mix, but also lack of medical office space. We talked about hurricanes. I lived through Wilma. I evacuated the hospital during Wilma. It's the most frightening thing to have people on vents with no power. And we had to evacuate because we had no water. The water system failed in the town, but you can see we had a lot of damage. This is where my employed doctors have their office. Not anymore, though, because there was pretty extensive damage to the building after the hurricane. So we have lack of medical office space. I had to bring a trailer in for people to be seen for several months. So to achieve this better mix of providers in the town, we decided we would work both on our payer side and our provider side. And again, we're part of a system. We're the healthcare district of Palm Beach County. The healthcare district also runs the trauma centers. We have a nursing home. We have a school health program. And one of the big things we do is access to the uninsured. And so our coordinated care program goes up to 150% of federal poverty guideline. And we could use that, but, you know, still, you got to have the people in the network who are going to accept the patients to be seen, which, see, we didn't have. And option two is a kind of lower level, because another issue out in this area is that there's a large number of undocumented folks. And the option two, you don't have to go through the total eligibility process. And in fact, you don't really have to have documentation to be able to be eligible for that. But it's limited benefits. So we did bring in some additional navigators and different people to go through some of the eligibility process and work to qualify people, because we also thought there would be a larger number of people who'd be Medicaid eligible in the community. So those are things that we could do on the payer level. But again, I still don't have the docs out there or the providers out there to see the patients. So we looked kind of to the community and kind of saw what were the existing providers out there. Is there anybody that we could help support or subsidize or somehow encourage to do more? talked about the health department. Well, there was also a voluntary clinic at the Catholic Church in Pahokee, St. Mary's Catholic Church. And got the two of them kind of talking together, and they kind of agreed that the federally qualified health center coming out of the health department would take over the clinic at the Catholic Church and make it one of their additional access points. And of course, that needed some additional dollars that luckily the system was able to provide so we could do that. But, you know, the issue there, it was really a great place for a lot of those undocumented folks. They felt really good about going to the church, and they didn't think they'd, you know, get arrested by INS or anything like that. They could get health care there. But it's that whole Catholic Church thing, and what do you do with the family planning? So we had a big issue, right? And so we did have another interested group of Florida Community Health Centers, and this is a nonprofit group that runs some other community health centers in different counties in Florida, and they were interested in opening one up in Pahokee. So we were able to convince them to come in again with a little bit of subsidy out of the system level. And, you know, so what we did then, we just wanted to see, because our folks on our boards are always, well, is that money well spent? You know, and how do you compare, you know, the fact that you have to bring providers in and there's a cost to it? And I don't know how you do, because, you know, you don't have the providers there. We have some providers now. We have better access. So we took a look at our cost by a per member per month. That's the PMPM, because it's kind of the insurance thing. And a lot of the folks in our governance, they're into insurance, so they like to see it that way, you know. And, you know, we have these insurance products. So on our option two, which is the most common kind in a way we qualify people for our regular system, there's a pretty low cost to care. And again, per member per month. So, you know, people are always coming and going out of the system. Somebody's not there the whole year, but, you know, it all kind of, you know, gels down in the end. Now, when you look at the St. Mary's, the Catholic Church model, they were able to provide a lot of services, but they used a lot of volunteer providers. Even though we were given some subsidy and making sure there was a provider out there all the time, they still used their volunteer physicians and providers very actively in their staff. And so it wound up being a very cost-effective model when you look at this per member per month. It was only about $10 a month more when you look at, again, that per member per month to have that going. And a lot of their folks they served would not have been people that would have been comfortable probably coming into either the health department setting or that Florida community health setting. So we were real pleased with that. And then finally, the Florida Community Health Center kind of opened up a little later. They had to get some infrastructure there. They also were able to do the family planning, health education, immunization, some of the things that weren't going on at that church clinic. And then here what their numbers looked like. And again, a much higher cost per member per month. But remember now, all the salary staff. I don't have any volunteers checking people in, don't have any volunteer providers. So we're kind of carrying all the burden there. So a couple things going on now. One thing going on, probably a lot of you have read about, that the Everglades are going to revert to a green. And so that means that one of our major employers, which is U.S. Sugar, is closing down. They're selling all this land back to the state. And some of the estimates are that we're going to lose up to 10,000-12,000 people in the area because the jobs are going to go away. That's going to be a big old deal. And, of course, we're in the middle of replacing our hospital. And we talk about old safety net facilities. And, of course, we set it to build at 70 beds. And, oh, my goodness, do we even need that anymore if, you know, the sugar mill's closing and people are moving away? So that's going to be another thing. And then probably, you know, on the side of trying to improve our payer mix, we're looking at doing a provider service network within the Glades area where we could enroll all of the Medicaid eligibles in that area into a provider service network and kind of take the risk of managing their care with kind of the existing network we have. And that may put a little more money into the system to do these things. Thank you.
All right, we have several minutes for questions. I'd just like to take time for a commercial break. This actually session is sponsored by the Medical Care section, and I'm in that section.
The Medical Care section does the Medical Care Journal, so if people would like to submit anything to from Medical Care Journal, they would be very interested.
You can join the medical care section, and for $25, you can get a free online subscription to the Medical Care Journal, which is an excellent journal. Any questions for anybody?
My question is about the data that you collected concerning primary care. As part of your survey, did you also, I know you were focused on primary care physicians, but did your survey also include questions about the other mid-level providers in the practices so that there's a more complete picture when you finally publish of those private provider offices? Because I know I'm from California, we're overrepresented by small offices. I work in a program where half of our providers are small offices, and they rely on mid-level.
That's right. That's a great question. And yes, we asked some questions that skimmed the surface of this. We know something about the staffing. We basically know staffing in terms of nurse practitioners, and we know and physician assistants. That and so advanced practice nurses, physician assistants, and then I need to think of whether we know nursing staff. I do not think we know general nursing staff.
Did you collect any information about midwives?
Not specifically. There's a catch-all question about basically advanced practice nurses that includes nurse midwives. But it's a good question to ask basically the extent to which we see radically different payment patterns in terms of primitive diversity, in terms of how many patients a physician can see. So, again, putting on my economist hat is the productivity of the offices, essentially their cost, their modes of care, vary a great deal. Some of that is attributable to the fact that some practices make great use of physician assistants in mid-levels. Some practices make no use. And so we can skim the surface, but to drill down on that, no.